While rental prices in Sydney seem to be easing, a new report says that rental affordability in capital cities is getting worse. It's having a greater strain on the hip pocket of renters who haven't seen a real increase in wages for a very long time. Daniel Ellison has the story.
According to the Rental Affordability Index, which was released today by SGS Economics and Planning along with National Shelter, Community Sector Banking and the Brotherhood of St. Lawrence, Sydney and Hobart are the most expensive capital cities for rentals in Australia. The housing market may have peaked, easing the stress on rental prices, but according to the report released today, Sydney is second only to Hobart as the most expensive city for low-income renters.
Karen Walsh from Shelter New South Wales says the real impact of high rents on those already living in low-cost housing can be devastating.
They're paying 60, 70, even more percent of their income in rent, and that doesn't leave very much for them to, you know, buy food, pay for transport. And for example, people that are job seekers on New Start, single pensioners, for them, the median rent of a one-bedroom unit is 128% of their income. Now, you tell me how that is something that we as a society can live with.
The crisis in housing affordability is not just affecting our capital cities, but regional Australia as well.
Across Australia, there is currently a shortage of 433,000 affordable houses. And by about 2036, we need 727,000 low-cost rental homes.
According to Ellen Witt from SGS Economics and Planning, this is an issue that has been generations in the making.
Well, that's quite a big task that we have ahead of us. I think the situation that we're in at the moment has been evolving and developing over a few decades. It's really since the late 90s that we've seen quite a disturbing change in public policy priorities. First of all, we got the combined introduction of the capital gains tax reduction and negative gearing, and that has skewed the property market towards investors, at the same time pushing out would-be homeowners onto the rental market.
But that state and federal bodies have not been treating housing affordability like the crisis it truly is. And the lack of public housing shows that government does not prioritise the things that vulnerable people need.
The government decided to invest less and less in social housing. So back in 2000, 6.5% of the housing stock was social housing. Now it's down to 4.4%. So ideally, we would want to see 10 to 15% of all dwelling construction to be for social housing. So we've got a big task ahead. So part of the answer is looking at how we treat treat housing. Housing should be a place to provide people a roof over their heads first and maybe an investment objective second. And at the moment, those two policy priorities are the other way around.
Ms. Walsh says that government prioritises spending to those who have more influence on the outcome of elections.
Governments do make choices about where they put their money. For example, in New South Wales, they've decided to spend, you know, God knows how much money on sports stadiums, when homelessness has increased by 37% since the last census, 2011 to 2016. Homelessness figures in New South Wales went up by 37%. And that's in a context of record delivery of market housing. So there's something really wrong in the policy system and how decisions are being made about where money is spent. So as I said earlier, if government treated low-cost affordable housing as social and economic infrastructure, gave it a fair hearing, actually looked at the costs of not doing this for individuals and our society, and for what sort of, you know, community do we want to be in, asking ourselves those questions, that's what I'm really concerned about.
Shelter New South Wales is gearing up to campaign for the next state election, and they have a plan to effect real change in the city of Sydney.
We're actually calling on all parties and all governments to commit to fixing the housing system once and for all before this crisis becomes an absolute disaster. And our first ask is for New South Wales for the delivery of 5,000 social housing properties, new homes, in addition to the existing social housing supply. And we want those 5,000 additional houses to be delivered every year for the next 10 years.
The New South Wales government is also in a good financial position and has the money to fix an issue affecting the one-third of residents currently renting in New South Wales.
And that actually takes political will, and it actually takes a lot of capital investment. We know that governments, New South Wales has had windfall gains in stamp duty and land tax, billions of dollars over the recent years through the increase in market housing. So we're actually calling for some of that money to be invested in housing for low-income renters, social affordable housing in Sydney and in the regions where people are really finding it tough.
Ellen Witt, however, believes the solution already exists and that the burden need not have to lie with taxpayers.
The governments, especially state governments, can use the planning system by introducing things like inclusionary zoning, where as part of any large developments, housing or commercial, developers are required to provide a certain share of affordable housing. So in that way, it's not all the government that needs to pay for it, and it's quite an efficient way of delivering it. I think it's important also to notice that it's not just people on benefits or pensioners, although they are suffering quite significant. It's often also working families, single parents that have a job that are really suffering a lot. For instance, a single mother who might work part-time and be on benefits, she would be paying 70% of her income on rent in Greater Sydney in order to enter a rental agreement.
One thing that is certain is that housing affordability and the real cost of rent and income are going to be issues facing all Australians going into the future. And it is important that the government address this.
The evidence is clear. This is, this is an urgent need. And WestConnex, all of those other infrastructure projects, in accordance with, good planning and good place planning, creating places where people can live, every community needs to have a social mix where people, regardless of your income, regardless of your age, everybody needs to be able to live in a community where they can access services, they can access infrastructure, they can access transport. So we don't just want to see communities that only deliver homes or infrastructure for those that are already advantaged, that are already homeowners, or that have already got two or three investment properties. We want to see communities being developed and created really well, not only in Sydney, but in the regions, because this problem is also spreading out to the regions. It's not only a Sydney issue. We actually want to see smart cities that are livable cities that we can actually be proud of and that people can live in and access services regardless of who they are.
Karen Walsh, CEO of Shelter New South Wales and Vice Chairman of the National Shelter Executive, ending that report by Daniel Ellison.